Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Involves two distinct groups. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and yes, the biggest benefit of the transfer portal, there are two distinct groups that get that benefit. I am talking about former stud recruits, and I am talking about fringe to below fringe football programs, achievement-wise and panache-wise. The transfer portal, and I'm talking specifically when I say stud recruits at quarterback. We are seeing so much movement, all players at all positions from all levels. Some going up, some moving down. Who did we see? South Carolina added a receiver and a quarterback, both from St. Francis, which I know St. Francis plays college basketball because I've seen them on the bubble, one of the last teams. No, no, they're not on the bubble. They would be one of the 13, 14, 15, 16 seeds. They win a conference. So every so often in March Madness, they'll come up in conversation somehow. Didn't we see, wasn't there a safety from like Assumption College that just committed to South Carolina too? Okay. So that's a kid going way up the ladder. You see it going the other way as well. Juwan Pass, who was a – that kid is huge. He's like, I don't know, like 6'5 and a half, about 250 pounds, and now he's grown. Well, he's got a year of eligibility, maybe two actually. No, in fact, he will have two. And where – he was at Louisville because he picked Louisville over all the other places that a four-star quarterback would pick coming out of high school. And he just transferred to maybe Rhode Island. So you've got a four-star moving down. I said former stud recruits, particularly at quarterback, and then fringe to below fringe programs, achievement and panache-wise. Here is another perfect example of this. And we're staying actually in FBS here, okay? So this is going, in this case, it'll be from Power 5 to Group of 5. This offseason, do y'all know there's a quarterback who's been in the SEC for maybe, is it 3 years? There's a kid that's been at Texas A&M named James Foster. And good-looking kid. He's like 6'2", 200 and whatever pounds. He's never going to play ahead of Calamont. And then, in fact, I don't even know if he was, I was going to say I don't know if he's a Jimbo recruit, but maybe he's been there for a few seasons. And so James Foster entered Texas A&M as a four-star recruit. He announced his transfer to Charlotte. UNC Charlotte. That's what we used to call him. And that's just kind of normal now. I'm at Texas A&M. I'm going to Charlotte. He was a four-star quarterback recruit who signed with Texas A&M, and now he's on his way to play for the 49ers, who didn't have a team until 8 years ago. And they play in a 15,000-seat stadium. And in 2021, there's nothing wrong with James Foster. Dude just looking for playing time. What do you mean there's nothing wrong with James Foster? I'm saying there's nothing wrong with what James Foster is doing. If that's how you look at it, oh, yeah, Chuck said it's normal. There's nothing wrong with what he's doing. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, while that also applies, yeah, there's nothing wrong with James. James is doing what Juwan did. Juwan did what all the quarterbacks. your program, whoever you are right now, it's likely you had a quarterback either leave or go or like five of them. So there's nothing wrong with James. There's nothing wrong with what James is doing is the first part. Do you know what the second part is? It's the literal. There's nothing wrong with James. Think about when, what was the phrase I used? Average or fringe. Fringe to below fringe Division I programs. Think about when they used to get four-star and five-star quarterbacks. Now, when I say fringe to below fringe, I'm talking strictly achievement-wise. Heritage, history, like Florida Atlantic. Brother, I've done games at Alcatraz. You could look over the back of the visitor stands and see the Atlantic Ocean. It's an unbelievable setting. FAU is fringe to below fringe, achievement-wise, history. So y'all know what I'm saying. Think about the history. When those programs, up until about 5-6 years ago, when those programs would get a four-star, five-star recruit, people, it wasn't coming out of high school. You never saw the first Wednesday of February, the recruiting, all the signings and the rankings were announced. We've got our top five quarterbacks. They signed with Oklahoma, Texas, LSU, Florida Atlantic, and Clemson. That never happened on signing day. Do you know when that happened? When you went back 4 years later after DeAndre Francois left Florida State. Actually, that was DeAndre Johnson who had left actually even before him. So that's how FAU winds up with a four-star quarterback. Is there's baggage. Malik Henry, not picking on Florida State here. Malik Henry was either a four-star or five-star. He was a dual-threat quarterback that, as I recall, went to like four different high schools. And FSU was like, yep, we can do something with him. And there was nothing wrong with them giving the offer. Malik Henry showed up, and then he wound up at Nevada. You never saw, and then just mysteriously, he left Nevada. He was at Second Chance for a minute too, wasn't he? Malik had some issues. I'll leave it at that. You never have seen signing day rankings, top five quarterbacks in America. Where'd they go? Alabama, Florida, Nevada, Washington. But Nevada got Malik Henry. Why? Warts. Ryan Perilou. I dare say he was the number one ranked quarterback in the country. He might have been the number one player in America. Five-star quarterback. You know what I've never seen in my entire life, and I look every February. Hey, we've got the final rankings of the quarterbacks, and where'd they sign? Really, where'd the number one quarterback in America sign? Southern Cal, Florida State, Miami? Nah, he went to Jacksonville State. Dan, isn't that where Perilou wound up?
Eventually, yes.
What an outstanding answer. Pause. Eventually, yes. There was a counterfeiting thing in a casino thrown in there. How did Jacksonville State previously wind up with the five-star quarterback? Baggage. Previously, if they have not got a stud, it was because of some form of baggage, whether academic, legal, attitude, whatever. Zeke Pike. I'll use my own school this time. Zeke Pike, son of an NFL player. He was a five-star quarterback in the 2012 class. He signed with Auburn because that's a place where a five-star quarterback would sign. And I don't even know who his other schools were, but I'll go ahead and tell you. Other giant school in a Power 5 conference, other even gianter school in a Power 5 conference, and I guess I'll go to this giant school in a Power 5. So he signed at Auburn, five-star quarterback. 2 years later, Murray State was getting that same five-star quarterback. Dan, have you ever heard of Zeke Pike? Do you remember him?
No, I do not.
Five-star quarterback signed with Auburn. 2 years later is at Murray State. How would that happen?
Usually getting booted.
possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, operating a motor vehicle under the influence, disregarding a stop sign, failure to signal, resisting arrest. This one, second degree escape. Well, like what? You tried, but your heart really wasn't in it. Open container. That's how a five-star quarterback winds up at Murray State. And you know what happened to Murray State? Got dismissed from there, too. How many? One, two, three, five-star quarterback. The biggest difference in the transfer portal when it comes to stud recruits and fringe to below fringe programs, now anybody can get a four-star or five-star quarterback without having to worry about an ankle monitor.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I went into a SEC head coaches meeting when we could do it in person last year, last February. And the reality of it is, nobody's going to make room for Eli Drinkwitz at the SEC head coaches table. You better make room for yourself. You better establish who you are. There's no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Anybody who played App State in 2019 would suggest there was no Mr. Nice Guy 2 years ago either. That was Eli Drinkwitz, head coach at Missouri. I know he's got at least one national championship ring. You know, we always hear about offensive analyst or special assistant or, you know, all the different titles that means you're not an on-field coach and you can't be by rule. I already got too many. So Eli got a national championship as an analyst with Gene Chizik back in 2010. And so he knows what it's about. And he's been plenty of other places as well. And he's a really, really smart guy, great offensive mind, play caller, all of that. And Missouri was actually, you know, we didn't know it at the time, but because they took a thumping in week one. It was them and Alabama in week one, wasn't it? And so they took a thumping. They're like, welcome to the SEC, Eli. Nick Saban does not take it easy on anyone. Nick Saban wins the game, and it, like, we're going to play. All right, the game is won. After Nick Saban has won the game, which he could realize comes at the 51-minute mark or the 58-minute mark, the 59-minute, 59-second mark, it can come at a different time. And when Nick Saban realizes this game is over, even though 60 minutes hadn't gone off the clock, he's like, yeah, it's over. And he will a lot of times shut things down, especially in a week one where you're not really sure what you got yet. Missouri played him tougher than we realized in the moment. And then Missouri got on a little bit of a run, and then LSU happened, and then you realize that there was a chance against the story that we were all working within. There's a chance that Missouri was playing pretty close to its version of 100%. Now, when I say its version, I would never say that about Alabama. I'm like, boy, Alabama looks like a national champion. I wouldn't say that really about a team like Florida, Ohio State, you know, the haves, the real haves. when I say their version, there's almost an implied, well, because they're not as good as everybody else. No, they had some great players on their team. In fact, Nick Bolton, I would say, was as impactful this past season as any defensive player in the conference, I think. Nick Bolton for Missouri. I just had to say for Missouri, I bet you, to some, for some people listening. And that's not a you thing, all right? You weren't watching the 11 a.m. kick on SEC Network. And you weren't watching Missouri. What was he just talking about? He's like, nobody's going to make room for me or Missouri or whatever. You know what Mizzou is? They're the 11 a.m. kick. And they're happy to be the 11 a.m. kick in the SEC versus like the 7:30 kick in the Big 12. I promise you. But they had as great a defensive, as impactful a defensive player as any in the SEC this past season. And then also on offense, Larry Rountree, that's not nothing. And a freshman quarterback, that's not nothing. Eli's, I talked to Chris Landry right after the hire. And his summary was, they won't be able to make this hire a year from now. If he would have stayed at App State and gone, like, I don't know, 11-1, and that's what we were projecting a full season and all. Or even if he would have been hired by even a mid-late, he didn't go from App State to the Southeastern Conference. He went from App State to maybe Colorado State or Middle Tennessee, or like there was another, like Marshall for us, I don't, somewhere. Then the SEC, but it wouldn't have been, that was the point. It would have been Tennessee. Like if he was still at App State, Tennessee would have had Eli Drinkwitz, or at least they would have gotten a no from him. Dan Matthews, how you doing?
Oh, well, I'm doing much better than a certain 7-on-7 goer this weekend, and I'm sure you've seen the video by now. But for those who haven't, there was a kid who thought it was a good opportunity to go ahead and take a shot at the title. You know, go after the champ, go after the king, do all those different types of things. Well, none of those things worked out for him, and all he did was made himself look like an idiot. And the guys who probably soon enough, if he wants to get to the level that these guys are at, are the ones now saying, yeah, you don't have what it takes to make it to this level now. And I want this to be kind of a case study for the kids out there who are going to be going through 7-on-7s this summer, the camps, everything else of the such. Do not be this kid. And his name is J. Seth Owens now, is what we've found out. I'm not doxing him. He's apologized now. And I want to take it even further because, Chuck, I almost want to make the argument that even at such a young age, he's a kid, he's a knucklehead, he's all those different types of things. Me and you, everybody, have done stupid things as kids. We learn from them. As a football player, I let my competitive side get the best of me, and it was a huge miscommunication. It was none of those things. It was none of those things. You told your friends beforehand, I guarantee you, hey, it's Cam Newton. I'm going to clown him today. I'm going to get him good. I'm going to make sure that he knows who I am on this football field. You know how you should know who you are on the football field? As one of the guys standing closer to the field on the sidelines, watching the next play, maybe even afterwards, hey, Cam, J. Seth Owens, really nice to meet you. You know, I really appreciate, you know, everything today. And, you know, if there's anything I can learn from you, I'd love to do it. But instead, you wanted to be away from the field with your friends, being a clown. And then afterwards, too, he wanted to clam up and be quiet about, you know, when Cam Newton was asking him, hey, what'd you do today? What are all these different types of things? I got to give credit where credit's due. Davin Bellamy, former Georgia linebacker, had a quote on Twitter where he said, this kid just made it even harder on himself with coaches. Because if indeed maybe there is a coach who comes to his school and recruits him to come play, I guarantee you this is going to come up. And I guarantee you if I'm a coach, I'm saying, I got doubts about you now. Because I don't know if I want a guy like this on my field. I think I want a guy who's going to show up and every day it's known, hey, that guy gets his work done. That guy keeps his mouth shut. And that guy makes sure that everything he's doing on the field is in preparation for him to be the best player he can be. Huge target on his back now.
There was a reason last week I brought up something Frank Martin had said. Who I've said Frank Martin may be as good as a college basketball coach as there is anywhere. And somebody asked him about, you know, we're making a statement, kids being different. He's like, well, kids aren't different. He's like, kids are exactly the same. They pop out of the womb exactly the same way they did 1,000 years ago. He's like, the adults who are raising those children, kids come out the same. He said, it's the adults raising them that are different nowadays.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Every now and again, we have a signing day, and it comes and goes, and then the next week happens, and then a month later happens, and there's a guy like Demetrius Robertson, five-star kid from Georgia, who it's, I think it was like maybe 3 months or so, 3.5 months maybe, but I think it was into May when he signed with Cal coming out of high school. Zach Evans last year was like, what's Zach Evans going to do? And then all of a sudden it's May. It's like, what? TCU. Oh, okay. Not exactly the same thing, because those were kids who were still just trying to decide who was going to sign, you know, where they were going to sign a sheet of paper for. But over the weekend, Auburn added what I guarantee you will be the largest addition to the 21 class post-signing day. I mean, foreseeable for any program in America. Dylan Brooks, who has bounced between a four-star and a five-star, depending on who you look at. He's a kid from not too far away from the Auburn campus in Roanoke. If you know his story, I mean, it's a quick one. Committed to Tennessee, small-town guy, small-town Jeremy Pruitt, bonded with the coach. So that's not going to happen. He enters the portal, or actually asks for a release from his letter of intent. Comes over the weekend. He commits to Auburn. Boom. He is added to the Auburn 2021 recruiting class. Man, who does a great job covering Auburn. And really, if it's recruiting, especially in the South, man, he's on top of it for 24/7 Sports. It is Keith Niebuhr. Keith, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm actually sort of on pins and needles, because Auburn might be on the verge of getting another commitment today, quite frankly. And so I'm just sitting here waiting for it to happen.
All right. Well, we'll get back to Dylan Brooks in a minute.
Another big one. Yeah, this could be another big one.
Go ahead. Talk.
Well, I mean, look, they're working on some transfers right now, guys that aren't going to show up in the recruiting rankings. We at 24/7 Sports, I don't think Rivals or ESPN do either. We don't include transfers in the rankings. Mm-hmm. But this guy that they're waiting on, and I feel good about their chances, Dershoon Miller, a cornerback from West Virginia, who started for the Mountaineers. They had one of the best pass defenses in the country last year. He's a Marietta, Georgia native, and we think he's closing in on a decision. And Auburn looks to be in a pretty good spot there. And that, again, you know, you look at the recruiting rankings, Auburn's 20th, which isn't great, 8th in the SEC. That's not great. Of course, Chuck, when February began, they were 48th in the rankings. So They are up 28 spots. This would be a second transfer that, again, doesn't count in the rankings, a guy that's probably going to push for a starting job. Another transfer they picked up in February was EQ Liotta, an edge rusher from Northwestern. He's not going to count either in those rankings, but they're two guys that are probably going to be playing a lot in 2021. In many respects, will have more value than a lot of the guys that signed, quite frankly, in 2021 as high school guys.
So let's talk about just the numbers then of what could be out there. And in this case, we're talking about the Auburn Tigers. And everybody's got a little bit of a different story. We know that if you have a senior if he's supposed to be out of eligibility, he's coming back, you can go over 85. That's determined. What I have not seen determined, though, is the immediate eligibility, which was tabled last month from the NCAA, they were talking that and name, image, likeness. And I'm just asking, Keith, is there something I'm missing here? Because these kids are jumping into the portal in and out as if they're expecting this to be granted, but it hasn't been yet.
it hadn't been yet, and a lot of people, you're talking about the immediate eligibility of a transfer.
Yeah.
Now, unlike, and I should point out that the kid that we think could announce today, the Miller defensive back from West Virginia, he'd be a graduate transfer. E. Culiota, who signed with Auburn in February, he's a graduate transfer. So they're obviously eligible to play right away. I want to clear that up. But, yeah, you're right. There hasn't really been any final say on what you're saying. And I tell you, I don't think it's going to go through. I mean, it sounds – I mean, remember Mark Emmert said not too long ago that they thought that maybe that would be something that just wouldn't get done right away. Now, we'll see, because you're right. A bunch of kids jumped in the portal when, you know, well, here's an example. Eric Gilbert ended up at Florida, the tight end from LSU. So how's, if they don't pass this rule, how's he going to play? Well, he's going to have to appeal and all that stuff. And I don't know how they're going to resolve that, quite frankly, Chuck. But you're right. Nothing has been finalized yet there.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the big addition out of high school. And again, from just up the road, Roanoke. Real quick, because the initial report I saw is that Tennessee had put the condition no SEC school, but then I saw that wasn't included pretty soon after that. Was that actually part of it, or was that an error at first? And just talk about how this unfolded.
Well, I don't know what happened on the Tennessee side. I can only tell you what Dylan told us and what his coach had told other people, I think, including AAL.com, the big website over in Alabama. That was that at first there were some conditions. They didn't want him going to an SEC school. But you know how it goes, Chuck. There's always backlash. And normally you'd say, okay, well, listen, I kind of understand their point of view. I mean, the kids, you're supposed to sign with the school, not a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this was one of those weird situations where the coach was fired after he signed in December. And quite frankly, fired for reasons that, you know, well, you've seen the stories, Chuck, and I think everybody listening
pretty
has
bold.
Too. So yeah, so quite frankly, if you're the kid, you say, well, wait a second. I mean, I may be going to a program that's going to be possibly going on probation. All the coaches that recruited me have been either fired or not retained or, you know, this, that, and the other. And then you had the added element that their new D-line coach at Tennessee is Rodney Garner, who was recruiting Dylan when he was at Auburn, when he was Auburn's coach, defensive line coach. So there are all these different layers there, but yeah, at the end of the day, Tennessee did the right thing. I think there was probably a little blowback after the initial stories came out that said, hey, he's going to get a release, but he wouldn't be able to play in an SEC school. And I think Tennessee probably just said, you know, it's not worth the public relations headache if you hold on, if you keep trying to fight this and all that. And I think they did the right thing. But again, Chuck, it's not uncommon for a school to have conditions like that. What was uncommon was the set of circumstances that led to it, that being Jeremy Pruitt and his staff being fired for – you know, reasons that we're going to learn a lot about in the coming days. Yeah, well, I you can say that.
I did. They cheated. You know. And like I said, I don't know the specifics. I mean, that McDonald's bag thing, that just sounds like an interesting, like, you know, folklore. I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody could be that brazen. But here's – so I don't know the details. I know they cheated. Continuing with Keith Niebuhr. And as far as Auburn goes, do you think that this class, you said that there could be one more announcement coming from, you said, a JUCO, I believe. Oh, no, no. West Virginia.
The West Virginia transfer. Yeah, we think he's going to announce probably today. But, no, I think there'll be more guys. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, exactly. What else beyond today?
Well, okay. So you get this guy today. That would put you at, I think, 20 or 20. I think you'd have three more spots available after today that you could use with the 25 initial counters for a year, 2021. So I think they'd have three more spots. And really, you know, Chuck, you watch them play. You watch a lot of Auburn football. I think everybody knows where the elephant in the room, that where they need to
offensive
address
line.
Is. Yeah, absolutely. And not just on the outside, maybe even on the inside. I mean, the old staff and the new staff both pursued a kid named Eric Wilson, who was a Harvard transfer as a center guard who ended up at Penn State. So that tells you that they were at least looking. But the more immediate need, obviously, is at tackle. And it's not that these guys are terrible, but you need more depth. You need more competition. Even if you bring in a guy and he doesn't start, theoretically, he would push the other tackles to raise their games. But quite frankly, you would prefer to bring in somebody that could play right away, start right away. But, you know, people say, well, who? You look at the transfer portal, there's not a ton of available tackles out there. However, Chuck, history shows that a lot of these guys don't make their decisions till after spring practice. A lot, you know, Auburn, I mean, some of the guys they brought in as grad transfer offensive linemen, they didn't make those decisions till April, May, and sometimes even later. So they're going to, you know, Auburn's going to keep looking and looking and looking. You can't pursue guys until they're in the portal. But what will happen, and I think everybody listening knows this, is if Auburn's O-line struggles big time this spring, the word the word's going to get out, and a good player out of Washington State or in Illinois mm-hmm. or somewhere like that may say, you know, why don't I go to the SEC for a year and get ready for the draft? I mean, you know, so they're going to end up with somebody, most likely one, maybe even two tackles. And also, Chuck, let me point out, they're talking to Oregon transfer quarterback Tyler Shuck as well. So they are not, you know, they're trying to beef up the roster. Now we'll see if they can do it, but they're darn sure trying hard.
Wrap it up with Keith Niebuhr. And again, Keith, you can get players are wherever they are. You know, Nick mm-hmm. Saban proves that. Dabo, Kirby, go get the players. Or, you know, Ohio State goes into Miami, whatever.
Yeah.
That's not really been Auburn's profile. I mean, I sat back over the weekend and I was trying to just do it from memory. I was like, yeah, Karibi Dede was from Virginia. That's about all I got. From really going, you know, like Ben Tate was from Maryland, I remember.
There haven't been many out of the footprint. Is that what you're getting at?
And I saw, was it last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, whatever. An offensive lineman from Wisconsin was offered. And I was like, I can't remember a player from Wisconsin ever being in conversation at Auburn. What is the initial idea? What's your opinion on this initially?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're right. I've been covering Auburn 8.5 years, and I don't recall them even offering a single player in the state of Wisconsin. But if you're going to look for linemen, that's probably not a bad place to go. I think what they're doing early is, you know, you've got some coaches that are from different parts of the country that are now on the staff. Brian Harsin, the two other Boise guys, are from out west. Burt Watts, who's going to coach Ed Rushers, he's been at Fresno State.
Yeah.
So they've got a different set of connections. Then you've got your Cadillac Williams of the world who are connected in Alabama, Georgia, Florida. So I think what they're trying to do is cast a wide net early, and they think they can have some success out in different parts of the country. The question, there's a couple questions. One, does mom and dad of a kid in San Diego say, yeah, sure, go to Auburn? Because that's expensive to go see them play. And it's easier said than done, Chuck. It's one of those things that's easier said than done. But they do have connections, so why not try? But then the question becomes, do you go to California to sign a high three-star linebacker? Let's say, do you fly 2,000 miles over 500 other kids to get to that kid? So, you know, time, effort, energy. But initially, I think what you do, it's not unwise to cast a wide net, see what kind of nibbles you get. I guess you don't get nibbles when you're casting nets, but you get my drip.
Sure.
What kind of feedback do you get? This guy really likes us. He's going to give us a look. Let's give it a shot. Let's see how it goes. But, you know, ultimately, as you get closer to signing day, most of the signees out of Auburn are going to come from the typical recruiting footprint. Alabama, Georgia, Florida, some Mississippi, some Louisiana, some Carolina, some Tennessee. And, of course, for a quarterback, you'll go to Texas. And, by the way, we've seen Auburn do a lot more in Texas in recent years. So that continues to be a state where they're looking at pretty good. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, Chad Morris and Gus had connections there, but so does Brian Harsin. Boise had to recruit that state. So there are some connections there. You continue to go there. But generally, you stay within your normal footprint. That was what was surprising the last cycle, what little success Auburn had in the state of Georgia. And that's something that obviously most people close to the program think needs to change in a hurry.
Two more questions with Keith Niebuhr.
Yeah.
Now, Coach Harsin's been there 15 minutes, so, I mean, you don't really develop these, you know, deep roots yet. But have you had any sort of feedback just from any high school coaches in the state of Alabama about any interactions or just general impressions of him?
Well, not so much coaches, but, you know, I will say this, and when you cover recruiting, you get to know the kids, obviously, but you get to know a lot of the families. Because if I just start covering Bo Nix when he's in college, I'll maybe never meet his dad or his mom or anybody. But when you start covering them when they're 16, you drive to Gulfport, Mississippi, and spend time with Derek Hall's grandmother and mother. You get to know them. So speaking with parents of players, you know what? The feedback has been really good. And you know, at first, Chuck, I'm going to be honest. I know a lot. You know a lot of college coaches. I know a lot of college coaches. And they were watching Brian Harsin take his time filling the staff. Not a lot of guys in the South with major, you know, who was going to be the alpha dog recruiter, who was going to be the Florida recruiter. There were a lot of college coaches out there saying, well, what's he doing? You know, really questioning it. But parents, man, I'm telling you, the feedback their kids are giving them has been very positive. It's a small sample size, obviously,
sure.
But they seem to like these guys. The one thing we get over and over from these people, and I'm not pressing them, by the way, they call you 90% of the time, but they say that he's incredibly detail-oriented, but that's been maybe the one thing that stood out. That the players have noticed it, too. They're just incredibly detail-oriented. And, you know, look, and that's not to say the previous staff wasn't or the staff prior to that, but we're speaking specifically to Brian Harsin. They like his positivity. They like his energy. They like that he rallies behind the kids. It's a kind of a bunker mentality, and they like the detail that he's incredibly detail-oriented based on our sources.
Last question for you, and this was asked of me by an Auburn fan, and I had to look at her. I was like, I got no idea, honestly. And I thought about that. I was like, it's not a whole lot about college football, I will say. I'm clueless.
Yeah.
Because there are different recruiting restrictions placed on a head coach versus any of the assistants. And so she asked me, she's like, all right, what kind of recruiter is Derek Mason? I was like, I have no idea, because he never built a reputation in the South as an assistant. That was all at Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. You throw me the hard ones, though, because you didn't have
I got no clue.
Thanks. No, but here's the thing. Now, he's been fishing from a different pond. It's a cliche, but it's true. I mean, Vanderbilt isn't going to sign the guys that an Auburn signed. Let's just be honest. But we talked to people that coached with him. We talked to people. I know a couple people in the recruiting office up there, and they said kids are going to love this guy. Super energetic, really into music, can relate. Being a guy in his 40s can still relate to the kids. But, you know, we don't know. It remains to be seen, obviously. It remains to be seen. But the general feeling is that the skills he have, organization, personality, those things generally are applicable. They translate from one school, one division to another. I mean, you know, Chuck, I covered a lot of those early Spurrier teams at Florida. I was in school there, and he brought all those guys from Duke, and people said, how the heck are these guys going to recruit in the SEC? But if you're organized and you're detail-oriented and you get along with people and can talk to people and get to know people, that, you know, obviously there's the ugly side of recruiting, too, that you have to deal with. But if you do those things, the guys that are really organized, guess what? The same schools that always did well, Chuck, did great during the pandemic last year. Why is that? Because they're winners. They know what they're doing. You know what I mean? So I think the book on him is people seem to think he's going to be just okay. Not just okay, but just fine, I guess would be the word. He's going to do fine. And so far, we've seen him make a big impact with a lot of kids. He's heavily involved. He seems to enjoy recruiting. We're getting a lot of feedback from recruits that he's on the phone with them a lot. He's very relatable. You know, he had an interesting upbringing. That's something that he's been able to point out to kids. I've been where you've been. So I think, and he's been a head coach, so he understands the dynamics of what the head coach deals with, too. So we think it's going to be a good fit. But you never, it's so early, like you said. Harsin's been there 15 minutes. Mason's been there 14 minutes. But the early feedback has been pretty positive.
He's got a blue check. I know it's him. Keith Niebuhr from 24/7 Sports. Get him on Twitter at Keith247 Sports. Appreciate it, brother. Do it again soon. Yeah, thank you.
Take care, Chuck. See you, man.
All right, Keith Niebuhr, 24/7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
You got an adult from your past that you need to apologize to? I do. I got a bunch. It's nice that I'm on the air and I have opinions and all that. It wasn't so cool for Miss McCart in third grade. So, I was thinking about that whole Cam Newton thing from the weekend. And again, Cam has his own issues. He really does. And it's one of those things where, you know, you choose to respond and get involved, and then it's not just this little, you know, teenage punk on a video, if that's how you describe him. It's, look at this teenager, and then he baits Cam, and then Cam responds, and then it just – so it's bad for everybody. Well, third grade still. Maybe that's when it started. Coach Bagwell, I will filter this because I know we're on some family stations. What a little jerk third grader I was. I gave him a lineup card I had filled out. And I mean like a – like I would go to the Braves games growing up. I grew up just outside of Atlanta. I would score the game. You get the game program, and I was the third grader. I was scoring a game. So I understood how you know what you did with baseball. And so I gave him multiple times throughout the season. I would give him a lineup card, always at practice though. Something for him to think about during the week before we got to – because we would have a game on like Tuesday night and then one on Saturday. And that was kind of the schedule, as I'm recalling. Get all your kids off social media, like right now. Even if they've never given sass to an NFL most valuable player. This is – and I'm being serious about this. Here is what happens even if you've got the best kid on earth. Like you went to Amazon and you know, best kid on a click. Like you went to the movies and it said, you know, adults $12, children $8. And you're like, give me two boys and a girl. Like you have you ordered perfect children and that's how they came out. Get them off social media as well. Do you know why? Because even if they are perfect children and popular and good at sports and what else? What else gets you a little run in middle school or a class president? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing now?
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Okay,
yeah,
all right. Whatever makes you spring musical, you're in everything. Is that good or bad?
High school, probably not, but middle school, you can get away with it, I think.
Sure. We're doing our town. Whatever it is, your kid is all of those things. Do you know what any child, any child on any form of social media, do you know what that 8 or 10 or 12 or 15-year-old girl or boy is chasing? Affirmation from others, a lot of others whom they don't know. And when I say affirmation, I mean in a literal sense. I just put a photo or a video, or I got a friend of mine, his daughter is like 9, she dances, and so TikTok videos all the time. She is chasing likes and favorites and retweets. And everything tags and everything else. And the interaction can be fun and harmless. And when I say harmless, like if the worst social media is in your home is harmless, it's harmless. No value to it, but it's harmless. You know what that is? That's like an Icy Pop or something. It's harmless. Go ahead. Yeah, have you a pop. But that is social media. I mean, literally, you post either a story or a picture or a video, and underneath it, it says, hey, everyone who saw, you can like this. Or you can say, it's even a favorite of mine. Or I want to share this. All these different ways that the child who put this up gets affirmation. That's all that kid was at. How old was the kid at the camp, Dan?
He's class of 22, so he's a rising senior.
Old enough to know?
Yes, absolutely. He should know better.
What was he after? Likes, favorites, retweets, views. And here is the trap. Even when your kid is awesome, one video got 300 views, one got 77. What's wrong with this video? Suddenly, it's not the achievement of what, and I'm just picking 300 views. It's the falling short and the I'm not liked as I'm telling you, folks, this stuff extrapolates out. When you started at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, and then you wind up a little 17-year-old giving sass to an NFL MVP, for gosh sakes. So that is the root of all of it, the affirmation of the likes and the favorites.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.